ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन् ऋतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वेदान्तडिण्डिमस्तत्त्वम् एकमुद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्तात्तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम् So, let's see. If we don't have others joining today, then I won't proceed yet to the next verse, because it's opening, continuing from where we're at, opening something else, so I would like to do with everybody. So, in any case, one thing about the last verse that we did, which is 48, which said like this. 48 was saying, Naham sachiti yo vityat vivichyaivam punah punah sa eva mukto sau vidvan iti vedanta dindimaha. So it's saying, I am the witness alone. Whoever recognizes thus by constant discrimination alone is the realized person, thus declares Vedanta. You have the text now, right, Susan? You got it. I shared it with you. Yeah, you have. Okay. So here it's saying, you know, we have to look at it punah punah again and again, time and again. Because what happens is we have our own habits, and that's why, you know, like for instance, if somebody has a certain kind of habit, I have certain food habits. And these food habits aren't very healthy, right? Let's say. And then I want to change them. We've all tried at some point to do it. Not very easy, right? Even though I'm not well, and then I'm supposed to not eat a certain thing, and I know this isn't good for me, but still, out of habit, I do it anyway. Like this. This is how we are. Like this, because habits are hard to change. It takes a lot of effort. So in this, how much effort it takes because of this whole habit of my identity. My identity is a very deeply ingrained habit, that I'm this person, and there's a whole network of ideas that's holding it together. And my ego fights it when somebody says, you know, you're not good at this. What do you mean? I'm doing this so many years. What do you know? Because I identify as this one. So it takes a lot to change how I look at it, to really look at it clearly from a different angle. Really takes a lot to do it, a lot of involvement. So when we sit and hear about it like this, it gives some pointers about it. But then, those are just some pointers, and maybe when it's pointed out that time can be a little more clear. But then, how much I have to look, in the end, I have to look into it, not somebody else. Somebody else looking into it is something different, but I have to look into it. So that's why the Sharavanam like this, the class, points it out. But then the Manan Nididhyasanam I have to do. Nobody can do it for me, because I have to be taking my time to look into it. I have to take my time to meditate on it, to keep looking at it again and again. Like this is what it's saying. So here, of course, in this verse, it's saying one of the key points in Vedanta that I'm Sakshi. I'm the witnessing awareness. I identify as something else, but that's due to lack of the viveka. In this verse, it's saying vivichya, having discriminated like this, then one has the clear vision. So one has to do this viveka regularly, time and again, look into it, because out of habit, I can easily fall into my usual way of thinking. When I did the Shivananda Yoga Teacher Training Course, one of the things that Swami Vishnu had the first day There's some small article, Swami Shivananda writing about sadhana, about spiritual practice, that we have to write a summary. Every day we have to write some summary of something. So there, it said that it's very easy to get on the bicycle and just go downhill, you know, like this. Like here, in the Bay Area, closer to where I used to live. But in different areas here, there are a lot of people that bike up in the hills and everything. So it's very easy to take your car to the top of the hill and just get on the bike and, you know, go down the hill, everything. But then a lot of these bikers, I see how they're going up these huge hills too. He said, that's the hard thing. And here it's going uphill because very easy just to go on my life as I'm used to. Very easy. Very simple. That's what most people are doing most of the time. You know, we're doing most of the time. But then to shift and look differently takes effort. Here you can say to be awareful living, mindful all the time, to see that, you know, okay, when a thought comes up, you know, am I reacting to it? Am I aware of it, or am I just caught up in it? Am I just doing things out of habit? So here to learn time and again just to come back to see that I'm the observer. The whole persona is just something in my mind that I'm aware of. So just like I'm aware of external things, I'm aware of my body, I'm aware of my mind. But out of habit, I identify with them. So again and again, coming back to being the witnessing awareness, again and again. If somebody just takes this thing, being Sakshi, and just very regularly keeps reminding themselves throughout the day, regularly, it takes huge strides like this to separate, to clarify. This is the viveka between myself, the individual, and myself, the witnessing awareness, like this. So that's why, again and again, if really one can just separate these, then what is binding him? You know, what is the issue? Like this. I seem to be the changing mind, changing body. I seem to be. But look, some of the time you manage to observe and see you're not that. So if some of the time you know you're not, obviously you're not that. Otherwise, how could you see that you're not that some of the time? You know, it's otherwise, if that's not how it is, then how could you ever see it like this? You couldn't, like this. So this is what that was pointing out. And so this is one of the most important sadhanas like this in Vedanta, is this viveka, you know. So now that we have our quorum, Namaskar Tarupa, glad to see you. Sorry, I sent out the late message about to remind people. In any case, let's move on to the next verse, which we'll start from today. So 49 is saying like this. Naham mayana tat karyam na sakshi paramosmyaham itini samshaya jnanat muktir vedanta dindimaha. I'm neither the maya nor its effects. I'm not even the witness. I'm the supreme reality. One who knows it thus, without an iota of doubt, gets liberated, declares Vedanta. So the previous verse is talking about sadhana, what I have to do. Well, it's not same interesting thing. It's not like, you know, yoga asanas you go and you do, right? Karma yoga you go and you do. Worship you go and you do. Here I read, I understand. So it's a subtler action. Viveka is maybe in some way is a subtle doing, but really in the end it's not really doing. It's observing clearly. And then at first maybe take some effort, but afterwards what do you need to do to be yourself? Nothing. So it's just a misunderstanding. So you can say, yes, some effort is involved because my mind is wanting to do other things, but just observing. And once I can observe clearly, I'm just myself. I'm not doing anything. So this way it's very different. And a lot of people have the idea, I have to do something. You have to do something. That, okay, something has to be done. Okay, as a preparation, yes. Prepare the instrument. But here it's not to do. It's just, you know, first to observe, and then you abide in what you are, not in what you seem to be, like this. So that's sadhana. Here it's not sadhana, it's what, you know, what the result is, you can say. So in Vedanta, there are two different main visions, if you want, but they're really one is stepping stone to the other. So the previous verse was the sadhana being Sakshi. I'm Sakshi, I'm the witnessing awareness. Here, Sarvatma Bhava, that, you know, it's only me, that's the result afterwards. And the thing is, just to jump to the result isn't easy. Because what happens, I'm identifying this, that's why it seems impossible. I identify as an individual, but I'm really everything, it seems impossible. And to jump directly to that is not easy, right? Ishavasamidam sarvam. That's still, somebody who read that from the Upanishad that we studied before, yes, that Ishvara is in and through everything, but not me, I'm this little one here. As some devotees, I'm Ishvarasya daso. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Ishvara. I'm like this humble. This one, Mukundamala, this one, prayer that I studied when I studied sanskrit years ago. They are saying, oh, you know, may I be the, you know, the servant of servant, and the person who wrote, or some other bhaktas, they pray, they'll be the stepping stone, and that they'll be incarnated as the stepping stone, the entrance to the God's temple, like this. So the God could be in everything, but poor me, and not like this. So that's good for at first, for some humility and for recognizing who is the Ishvara, the God. But then the I am that same one takes a lot more to do than this, to understand. So here then, once you can separate yourself, once I know I'm Sakshi, then I know that everything else becomes mithya, doesn't have substance. And once it doesn't have substance, then it's a very deficient changes automatically. Like here, for example, think of what you dreamt last night, or some dream you had, you remember. When you think of the dream, in the dream, then there's me and there's everything else, like this. But now when you look at it, you see, well, I was just aware of the dream. I was aware of some ideas, and in the dream it includes living beings, right? Conscious beings, you know, humans, and maybe other ones there too, like this. And there's objects, right? Insentient objects are there too in the dream. There's activity as well, right? The activity as well is there too. All of that, I was just aware of, it's not a reality. I'm just aware of it, it doesn't have any substance. Now I know it doesn't, and I was just aware of that whole thing. Like a movie, I was just aware of it, had nothing more than that. Now that I've separated myself from, I know it doesn't have any substance. So there was only me in the dream. So what was in and through and behind all that was just me, only me in the dream. Solo act. Right? a lot of artists want to become a soloist, you know. Oh, I play the violin, you know, third violin in an orchestra of 50 people like this. Or I'm a, you know, dancer and there are another 20 dancers, but poor me, I'm just one of those in line, not the soloist, like this. But then one wants to be, I want to be the soloist, like this. You know, here, so whole solo you get to do, whole dream. Only you, everything, and it's only you, nothing else. Now when you look at, now we look at the dream very clear like this, it's only that. So first you have to wake up from the dream, see, and then see that it doesn't have substance, it's just you, the observer. When you separate, then the whole thing doesn't have substance, including you, the individual in the dream. You, the individual in the dream, is also an idea. Usually we don't look, that's the thing, we wake up from a dream and we say, I had a dream like this, and we still see the dream from the perspective of the individual in the dream. Like this. But when we look at even the individual, the dream is also figment of my imagination, just like the rest of it, the whole thing. So mityatvam of this whole world isn't just the world itself, but seeing the body-mind complex is part of that too. It's part of the whole thing. In the dream it's like this, here it's the same thing. You know, look at your path, remember that was, remember your dream, now remember something that happened a day or a few days back. In your mind, there's you and the individual and the whole world, but it's all in your, when you look at it, it's all just memory. So you're aware of that whole thing. So the whole thing imprinted in your mind, again, is one thing that you're aware of. Where's the substance? It all depends on you. So you're the one in behind that whole memory and everything. So first you extract yourself from the dream or the memory. Then you see the whole thing you're just aware of, the whole thing, just something in your mind, so no substance. So it's just you behind everything in this way. There's nothing else there. Or another good example that illustrates this, if you watch the movie, nowadays you can go to a movie theater, right? Again, something, wow, you can go to a movie theater. I haven't gone since pandemic, but now we're free to go. Okay, you can go. And this, so you'll go. Now, when you do viveka, there's light, and there's the everything happening on the screen, right? The light projected. Now, if you separate them in your mind, of course, the viveka is separating through understanding, not physically, because you can't physically separate, but through understanding. So you separate, so meaning the light is substance, and then the rest of it doesn't, without the light, doesn't have any existence. It's just, you know, just something because something going from the light making it seem like other things. There's light, so the light is really the substantial one. So now, everything going in the movie, it's just the light itself. There isn't something other than light, only light. But first, if you separate like this, it becomes clear. If you right away want to do, it's harder for me to see that, because so caught up in the whole movie. So one thing in order to be able to do the viveka, we see is so important for it. But also vairagya is so important for this as well, because let's say I want to do that with the movie, right? Now, there's something very thrilling happening. So I'm caught up in that. How am I going to start doing this if I'm caught up in the thrilling part of the movie? I'll tell somebody else, hey, be quiet, don't make noise. I'm trying to, you're disturbing, I'm trying to see what's happening here. Right? Or I get emotional, or I'm very awed by what it is. I really like one of the actors I'm really watching very closely to see like this. So then, I have to be able to step back. Vairagya is being able to step back, not being caught up in the whole situation. So same, I had a dream, I wake up and I'm all caught up. What is this dream? Why did I think like this? Or what does it mean? People want all these meanings from dreams, mm-hmm. and things. So Vedanta says, that meaning from the dream maybe can have some psychological benefit, something. Nobody's saying it wouldn't. But more important is seeing how the whole dream came about, like this, analyzing what is the dream in this way so that I have more understanding of myself. So if I'm so much thinking about what happened in the dream, how did that come, what does it mean, then how am I going to, I have to step back from it. Okay, what was the dream? And I have to objectively look at it like this. So same way in order to really step back, I have to really just look objectively, right? Everything comes and goes, so I have to let it come and go. If I want to hold on to, manipulate, and then identify with the part, then it's much harder to do it. So that's why the vairagya is also, viveka is important, and vairagya as well. You know, imagine you go to a court case for something, you have to be there, for whatever reason, something happened, whatever. Would you want the judge that is, you know, an unbiased judge, a judge that has some sort of idea of prejudice, like this. You know, you're our ladies. Let's say it's a male judge who's prejudiced, you know, against ladies for some reason or the other. You know, prejudice because of race, prejudice because of religion, something like this. Would you prefer that? Or you want a judge that it's going to be, you know, as objective, trying to be really objective, like this. Like our flight mask mandate. It was a judge that was obviously unobjective. It can be unobjective from the other direction too. It's just from one side of the scale. Very unobjective. So just has their biases. So just put something down without first looking at all the facts like this. So in this way, that's the vairagya. The judge has to have vairagya towards the whole case. A judge is trying a mass murder, right? So now they have to be objective. They have to be objective because if they're just thinking this is a horrible crime and this person should be punished, how can they do that? They have to really step back and really see objectively way and then accordingly, you know, give their judgment like this. So in the same way here, how am I going to do to be sakshi? How am I going to separate if I'm caught up in the things? The nice thing is as sakshi, as you keep observing, it helps you to build up. That's probably why they have viveka and then vairagya. Some viveka, vairagya slowly will come too. Because as you can separate, you can see the things go by, and okay, it goes by, but you're still there. However it plays out, you know, you're still there, it'll come and go. And you see the emotion come, you get caught up, and you can step back a bit, see the emotions playing a little without you're being caught up in it, and slowly, slowly helps to resolve and not be as caught up in it like this. So that's extremely important for me to be able to step back like this. So in this verse now, first of all, viveka is there. Naha maya, na tatkaryam, I'm not the maya. How is it manifest in each of us? As avidya, right? As our ignorance. So I'm not the ignorance, karana sharira, nor the what comes from it. The body-mind complex comes from that. So whatever is manifest because of that, you know, if you make a mistake, you start to do a mathematical problem, and at the beginning you make some small mistake. Everything else you figure out correctly, but the final answer at the end is wrong because it's based on the earlier assumption. So I make assumption on this limited being, and all the other things are totally right, based on that are totally correct, totally according to dharma, totally according to law, totally logical, totally sound, but the base also isn't so. Still, although it's all done very nicely, still, you know, like somebody building a house in the Bay Area, they build it, you know, the foundation isn't good, or foundation is, or it's not built on the right foundation, on the right thing, on some sandstone or something. Everything else is built perfectly, wonderful house, but still, the moment there's a little bit of a problem, the whole thing will go. So the foundation has to be built on the foundation. So not this, nor in the whole thing. And that the sakshi helps. Sakshitvam is saying, you were sakshi. You managed not to do this. But now you're also not the sakshi. This is also not absolute. Because as sakshi is relative. When everything else is gone, where is sakshi? I'm aware of nothing, deep sleep. Okay, like this, fine. But really, just when there's nothing to be aware of, I'm just myself. So since we're used to see what happens, since I'm used to this interaction, this dual interaction, this helps as a very important stepping stone. Because again, yes, the sakshi, witnessing awareness, is Atma. We're not saying it's not. But the thing is, it's from the perspective of being aware of something. But once one gets to pure sakshitvam, let's say, that totally they know the sakshi, the rest of it just dissolves and it's clear that it's just you behind it. There is, and then there isn't something else like this. Like, you know, you're within this body-mind complex, right? Now, who's behind this hand? You'll ask the person. Oh, I'm behind the hand, of course. Who's behind the nose? I'm behind the nose. Who's behind the seeing? I'm behind the seeing, right? Who's behind the legs? Who's behind the emotions? Same one is behind all of them, right? Now the thing is, the witnessing awareness, everything they're seeing, who's behind the seeing? I'm behind the seeing, right? And since I'm the awareness, everything appears within my awareness. It's the objects appear within my awareness, come and go within my awareness, so they're just me, like waves in the ocean. You know, who's behind, you know, it's feeling cold this morning, right? Who's behind the cold? The cold. Well, I'm aware I'm behind it. So much so, I saw 50 degrees, I came in here, so I put the pilot light back on and put on the heat a bit for us sitting in here. So, who's behind the feeling it's cold? Well, I am. So is the cold separate from me? Well, as the individual, say yes. As sakshi, I'm aware of it. But then it's within my awareness. It just is. It just doesn't have a separate existence. It doesn't stand on its own. So then there isn't something other than me like this. It's all superimposed on me. All adhyasa, superimposition. Now, you can also put it like this. When we go in and we see the snake, then you turn on the light in order as the method in order to see to dispel the snake. once the snake is dispelled, at first the person may still say, wow, it looked like a snake. Oh, it looks like a snake. After a little while, okay, that's gone. There's just rope. There aren't two things, snake and rope. There's just rope, not multiple. Just rope. There always was rope, always. Never was anything else, no doubt about it. So since there's no doubt, the person's not going to see snake anymore. It can say, it looks like a snake. Really looks like a snake, very interesting. But there's no question about it being a snake or not. So it looks like there's something else here, but one really knows there isn't, so there isn't any multiplicity left to be discussed anymore, because I'm not that person. For jnani like this, they're not sakshi. There's just everything is that. There's just that one, and everything else, okay, seems to look like something else, seems to, but seeming doesn't, you know, that doesn't disturb the vision like this. So this is what this is talking about. So the first one is the sadhana, and this is the sadhya or siddha. And here we say siddha vastu, what's obtained because it's praptasya praptihi. We're working on obtaining what's already been obtained, not something that I need to get like this. Because if I get it, if I have to go to the store and get it, then tomorrow I won't have it. But something that's already there, it's already there. It's not something that I have to go and find and get like this. So this is what this verse is talking about. So what also happens is, when there is a, when you don't see things clearly, here because of vidya, but with vision because it's dark, here we don't have this problem as much, but when I was in Uttarkashi now, so of course, a lot of the time, the electric is out, right? So if it's night, you didn't have a candle or something, then you can't see anything. So there are multiple issues that you can't find what you need. You can trip over things, right? All sorts of other things. Nowadays, of course, that problem is pretty much nullified for everybody because everybody has a
cell phone,
and the cell phone has a flashlight. And even the morning there, a lot of time in the morning I wake up, like 4 a.m. I'd wake up, and then if there's not light, you just turn on the cell phone. Even without the flashlight, already there's enough light just to see a little bit. So our technology has fixed that problem. But let's say pre-cell phone, right, dark. So you can trip over, not see things, be in trouble like this. Now the moment you put on some light, you see it both, you can see, and as you see all the issues that come with the tripping, not finding things, whatever else there is, all the problems that are gone at once, not partially. So as I know I'm sakshi, it's not that some of the things will go, that some of the issues go, everything, because everything I see is mitya, then everything I see there isn't something other than me, so then no problem. So everything goes at once, not partially. So clears everything. This is why in Gita, and this one verse in the Gita, where Swami Dayananda uses the slogan for Arshavidya, for his organization, which says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Nothing, there is nothing as purifying as knowledge like this. And because that one frees us. That one totally clears out everything once and for all, completely, not partially. You know, then it's clear and then no problem. So like this. The problem, the issue we have is this, though. We get into big trouble because the stone has no problem, it has total ignorance, right? The jnani has no problem, total knowledge. But we have a partial knowledge, and partial knowledge brings a lot more problems. Because if I partially know, like then I mistake the rope for the snake, and I mistake myself for this individual. So the partial knowledge is where we get caught, like this. Deep sleep, no problems. Right? Because pure ignorance, so we love it. We just want to stay there because, oh, so nice, like this. So we don't want to get up. But partial knowledge, then the whole story starts. So So this is why Vedanta said just an understanding. You understand with no problem. So this is what happens, and the understanding that takes care of everything all at once. The issues of life will still be there, still will be illness, still will be, you know, problems to deal with, still will be, the whole world will continue like this. But, you know, if there's a dream that has a lot of problems, you know it's a dream, then is there something really, you know, you take care of the things, but is it really, what impact will it really have? This is why when Ramana Maharshi, he was asked once, there was the whole movement for India's independence. So he is asked why he's not encouraging his devotees to participate in India's liberation. So he said, if you go to a movie, and in the movie there's a big fire going on in the movie, are you going to go and bring the hose and everything and try to put it out? So, you know, a lot of jnanis, yes, out of habit of caring for others, loving others, they're doing some service, and this, yes, they're doing, but really, knowingly inside it, it still is mithya like this. It really is just themselves so in this way. So that's one of the things pointed out in here like this. So again, so sakshi has its purpose, it spreads. Not that we don't need, you know, sakshitvam is fully important. This is talking about when you really fully extract what happens then, like this. And again, using in one's mananam, one's own vichara, looking at the dream, first of all, in this, the lines that we've been doing, really taking time to look at it like this, really to see, yes, the dream was, but it wasn't me and everything else. I'm aware of the dream, and I'm aware of the individual in the dream as well. Then, that taking that step first, after taking that step, then seeing the whole thing is as good as a movie, the whole dream thing, doesn't have any substance, me, the individual, either. And then you see it's only me behind the whole dream, like behind the movie. Taking that as taking time, really looking at this. So that whole thing is clear in my mind when I think of a dream, that it's very clear. I'm not any part of it, first of all. And then the whole thing is just me, super, it's just me behind everything, superimposed on me. In Gita, I forget exactly where it is, but there's a place where Lord Krishna first says, you know, he's in everybody. He says, actually, I'm not in and through everybody, but everything's in me. It's exactly these two steps. This is why a lot of time with the texts, especially Gita, because Gita is takes yoga and Vedanta and mix in there. So without understanding, reading can be confusing like this. So in this way. So this way, seeing first, extracting myself as sakshi, then sakshi of the whole dream as well as the individual in the dream, then the whole thing is just something I'm aware of, then you see, well, it doesn't have substance, it's only me behind everything, only me. So first, really taking time to really look at this again and again, this is how the dream is. After doing this, you see really, very clearly this is how the dream is, take your memory. Something occurred in the past, recent past. Try to do the same exercise. Because once you're doing the dream, the previous thing, it's in your memory, so it really is no different from the dream, because the dream is in your memory, and that's in your memory as well. We make a difference in our own mind. But when we look at it, the difference between dream and waking state, the difference is the waking state, the stimulus in the senses is the stimulus for my reactions, my thoughts, experiences are coming through the sense, from stimulus in the senses. The dream, coming from my own mind. The rest of it is the same, the rest of it is my action and reaction. So that's really the only difference then between dream and waking is this, where the stimulus that comes in, like this. And of course, waking does have some stimulus coming. It's not all just external, but in general like this. So the memory then is really more like a dream. It's really more the dream category than the waking category, like this. So in this way, it's more akin to dream than to waking, you can say. So you take your memory and try to do the same thing to it. Because when I remember what I was doing earlier today, same thing. Both the external world and the individual, they're both in my mind. There's no individual sitting there in my memory there. I'm just identifying with a certain part of the memory. But, you know, but where is that individual? This is the idea in my memory. So you manage to do it there, extract and see, same thing. It's only one thing. I'm aware of that whole memory, whole action, whatever happened, whole incident. And within that, me, the individual that I identify with, is part of that whole thing. I'm aware of that. And then where is that whole memory? There's either the awareness and the memory, and so on. There's no real, it doesn't have substance, so really I'm the one. It's just superimposed on me. When superimposed on me, meaning I'm the one in through all of it. There's no duality, it's just me. Once you can do it the memory well, then you look at the current, this moment, and this moment is not any different. And these give you the training ground to be able to do it much easier. Because when you can do it, whereas a dream is easier, because more far, easier to see it's unreal, much easier. We don't have a question about that. And then you do it memory because you're able to do it, and it's the same thing in the mind. Then afterwards, bring yourself to the present moment. And then you can see present moment is not going to be any different. It seems much more real, just like the when you're in the dream right now, it seems much more real than later when you wake up. Mm-hmm. You're caught up in a thriller movie you're watching right now, much easier afterwards to look back and see like this. So much easier in this way. So, but then if you can do it for earlier, then you try now. Very interesting, because in the end, it's not going to be any different. So these few steps can really help to look at it like this. And then, as you said, the mananam nirada. We can discuss that, but then one has to take and look at it for oneself, and look at it to clarify one's vision. Because what happens is, he says here, nisamshayak jnanam, you know, totally clear a knowledge without any doubtless knowledge like this. So what happens is, an example of the doubtless knowledge is, you know, you all have kids. So we went through this as well. They probably, most kids went through it. Sometime they touched the fire and burned their hand, right? Now, the child did this. After the child has done this, are they going to have any doubt that, you know, touching the fire is not going to do anything?
No.
After once, finished. It's embedded in them. I bet animals too, like maybe a monkey or something, do. Animals do probably the same thing. Once it's imprinted, finished, they won't touch it again. So we know. So that's doubtless knowledge. There's no question in mind that touching the fire is not a good idea. After you do it once, finished, like this. So what happens? So that's doubtless. So we can have two issues that we have. One, of course, is the viparita jnana, the incorrect knowledge. Incorrect knowledge like this, I have the incorrect knowledge, that's one issue. And, you know, most of us living most of the time with the incorrect knowledge, because nobody, it's never been pointed out, we didn't look into, so, you know, we just see the world as this is solid reality, and that's it. So much of religious thing also just accepts it. Yes, pray so you go to the heaven, you'll be better off there, and so pray so that God will help you with this. So still, it takes the world and me and the individual as solid reality. So like this. So this is one thing, taking a knowledge of something which is not correct and taking it as correct. So this is one issue, like this. But then the samshaya jnanam, the doubtful knowledge, is also, isn't the other problem, because now I say, aham brahmasmi, right? Aham sakshi, I'm the witnessing awareness. I say that, but am I or not? Now I say yes, I'm meditating, I'm just observing body, mind, whole world is this, whole world, war, Ukraine, and this coronavirus, and the physical problem, health. All I'm sakshi, it's nothing, very easy. But then afterwards, I start having to deal with something, and then am I the Sakshi? Or am I this person who is suffering from this problem, from this health problem, or this family problem, or this worry what's going to happen in the world? And which am I? So then there is a doubt. So if there's a doubt, it also isn't, you know, it's not a solid, clear knowledge, so it also won't totally help me, because it'll maybe give some, it'll give some solace and help to resolve some of my worries and fears. Yes, it's not that it won't do anything, but it won't totally resolve the issues, because it's not firm that it's, you know, no question about it. So this is, you know, this is the difference. Like one example, samshaya, like this. When I was in the military, because in Israel you're drafted to the military, so there, when we used to have to, there, they don't tell you, do you want to join, do you feel like joining the military, like you're their advertisements, join the military, you know this. They say, this date, you're drafted, you have to come. No question. And my nephew is so now, he's military there. Okay. Then they don't say, do you feel like joining the combat unit? No. You can choose this or this, you don't choose. We're sending you wherever we want. So, in this way, so military basic training. So then you have to learn to fire and all these exercises and this. And I hated it, but you know, what can you do? You're 18 and they're making you do your, you can't just get up and face. Some people are very bold. Nope, not for me, I'm not doing it. And they'll put them in prison for a few weeks, something, then they give them some office job, because what can they do if they can't? So some people have that conviction. I wasn't of that conviction. So doing whatever exercises, and so we'd have to, when doing these exercises, we'd have to say fire, fire at certain places. I would just lie there, wouldn't say anything. So then the head of the whole group saw that I'm doing this. So we were like, you know, in the desert, doing bushes. So he would come right behind me, and when we'd have to lie down like this, he'd say fire, fire. So I'd have try to get this one going. You know, you're trying to light some wet wood, it doesn't light. I was that kind of sort. So they decided send them to medics course, and this, so they did, so at least they had somebody medic sitting somewhere, they could use them for something. But in any case, so what his pep talk was, if you're uncertain about, you're sent to combat, if you're uncertain and you're hesitating, then that person will shoot you like this. So of course, my answer for him, which he just thought, what is this nutcase in front of him? I would say, well, why is that person's life more important than mine? Why is my life more important than about that person's life? So he just didn't know what to do with this crazy fellow, of course. That's, I guess, why some Scott I got into yoga after this. But in any case, so there is the doubting. You're a combat person. You're doubting, should I do, should I not? Imagine this policeman, there's a big problem. Because, you know, if you have something, you have to do the duty clearly. This policeman, somebody's causing trouble. You know, that person is really causing trouble. They can forcibly stop them. Do you want that policeman, you know, policeman to be doubting or to do his duty? They should do his duty. So a soldier also, there's place for the soldier to do the duty. It's not that it's nowhere to do. There are times, you know, like this, that they have to do it. Look, if you're a soldier in Ukraine, you have no question what to do like this. So in this way, it has its place. So the knowledge that is maybe this may, then, you know, you can't do it. And most people that are successful in almost any field, because they do it, just, I'm doing, no question. And maybe, yeah, there's time to think about before, but afterwards, once you do, you have to do. You can't partially do. So here, if the knowledge is maybe on this, maybe that, yes, so we're aspiring to, but as long as the knowledge isn't clear, then, you know, then still we get swept away by everything else. Like this is what happens. So like this, you know, as a young person like this, when I went to the army, it was clear this isn't for me. I said, no, I can't, I won't lift arms, this. I'll serve the country some other way, I'll be happy to serve society, but not like this. So You know, so then there's no question. It can be resolved. It can be resolved somewhere. But if you're not sure this, then you know, then you get fall between the cracks like this. So in this way. And as an aspirant, what happens is after, you know, when somebody really has some aspiration for and really starts looking for some, you know, beyond this limited, beyond my limitations, then there's no way back. Can you just go back now? Just live the worldly life, forget all this. It doesn't work, right? You can try, you can do it for some time, but you won't be satisfied. So the aspirant is in the middle like this. So might as well really put effort in like this. Swami Tattvedanandaji gave a very nice example about this exact thing. He said like this. If you're digging the well, you're digging down to get water in the well. Mm-hmm. So you've dug a few meters, something, and now it's moist. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning that the water is there. Mm-hmm. It's not a question if it's there, just a matter of putting some more work in to get to where the water is and finish it. So it's the same way, like this. We look into this, and obviously we're seeing there's something. We talk about Sakshi about this way. It makes some sense because otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, after all the dindimas we had, if it didn't say something, we would go do something else. You know, this wouldn't be for us. So obviously it does. So it says, meaning it's like the moisture. You see there's something there. Meaning you just have to plod on and get to, you know, work hard and get to it in this. Otherwise you stay in the nisamshaya, not the firm conviction, partial, maybe here, maybe there, and then it doesn't totally do it. So this is really something to think about, that yes, I'm looking into this. It seems to make sense. So I really have to look at it very clearly, completely, not just leave it partially, because otherwise I just stay. And then, you know, one thing I think about with this, again, one of the, you know, dimdima to hit on my own head like this, which probably many aspirants would do, is look, when we get old, then people, when they're old, they'll have some regrets. Oh, you know, with family and this, if I didn't do this, or, you know, these things I wasn't very honest with, things like this. They'll have some doubt, some things like this. So some worldly things like this, you know, we can't do everything perfect, but, you know, so we might have some regrets. And of course, you know, things like this, if I have some, I should fix them best as I can now, because who knows what I can do later. But if when I'm old like that, and then I say, you know, I had this desire to look into who I really am, but I had the desire to, but, you know, because of being lazy, because of being distracted by this, that, I didn't do, how much more, you know, how much more I'll suffer from that than the worldly things. Mm-hmm. Let's say if I am totally sincere, but I didn't completely have understanding, at least there's not the regret. Yes, I did my best, I'm still trying to, I'll get to it. So if I die, I'll continue, no problem. Mm-hmm. So at least then, I don't have that, even if I didn't find it, at least I'm satisfied I did my level best. Mm-hmm. But if in this I feel I didn't do my level best, and doesn't mean, you know, the level best means now I can look at it and see where I can do better at it, and I keep doing it. So if I didn't find perfection, okay, I didn't, but at least I did do my best. Then also, as I move ahead further, I'll keep getting impelled in that direction, you could say. So this is something, you know, something very important like this, I think, for us to think about like this. Let's see any other important points here, like this. These are most of the points that I had in the notes for this one, like this. So again, just remember these two verses, 48 and 49, the one is what we actually are doing as a sadhana to, you know, to, in order to do our inquiry is the viveka. Sakshi is viveka between I, the awareness, and what I, the awareness, isn't, like this. And remembering then that's still a stepping stone. And once pure sakshi tvam is there, the rest really is clear. It's mithya. So mithya means there's not duality. There isn't a snake and a rope, there's just snake. So there isn't I, the awareful being, and what's being observed. It's just I, the awareful being, because the rest is just me with some superimposition on. So when superimposition is clearly not, isn't there, then what else is there? So that's what the vision that comes from it when sakshi is, when it really one can see they are just the sakshi, they're not, they're, that there isn't, you know, that there isn't, that they aren't something limited like this. So this is the, these two verses, how why it's put one after the other. So after he went through Panchakosha Viveka, all the things I can think I am, like this, you see you're not because you're the sakshi. Then if you're not that, then what else is there? You know. Then there isn't something else. After you really drop them all, there isn't something else. Otherwise, it still is dvaitam, like this. So this is the, this is how this is, looking at this this whole thing. So let's conclude with this, because I think we diced this verse pretty nicely, and then next one we can get into the next time.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Dachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So before we conclude, then if anybody has any samsayas, any questions, something, we can discuss them. If not, then we can just remain happily, blissfully in ourselves. Or at least for now, we don't have any doubts of any kind. Very good.